This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day despite the fact that one of our great institutions, one of our greatest museums, the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C., has just been exposed in a dire scandal. It's a scandal about a brain collection. What kind of brain collection is it? It's a collection of different brains trying to emphasize the message of racism, how different human beings are based upon their racial background, and of course with some groups held to be superior and other groups held to be incurably inferior. We'll be speaking to Dr. John West, who's exposed some of this so-called scientific racism, which has now gotten attention in the Washington Post and elsewhere. We'll be talking to Dr. West a little bit later this hour. First off, there was the controversy generated by a very prominent musician, Carlos Santana, who I think is known to people who were old enough to remember when Santana first burst onto the international arena in the late 60s, early 70s. In any event, he was giving a concert in New Jersey, and he had some deeply controversial remarks. Listen.
God made you and me before we came out of the womb. You know who you are and what you are. Later on, when you grow up and you see things and you start believing that you could be something that it sounds good, but you know it ain't right, because a woman is a woman and a man is a man. Yeah. Whatever you want to do in the closet, that's your business. So I'm okay with that. I am like this with my brother Dave Chappelle.
In any event, that is Carlos Santana. To say that a woman is a woman and a man is a man, and that people are born with those identities, the idea that that should be controversial, it's one of those things that I think makes people disillusioned about where we are right now and some of the, quote, cultural debates that we are going through. And the idea that somehow it is sexist, it is transphobic, it is wrong to require that people who compete in athletic competitions actually be identified with the gender in which they're competing, under which they're competing. Because otherwise, why have separate categories for track and field or basketball or anything else? In other words, if there are no deep and abiding and profound congenital physiological differences between males and females, then what's the point of having women's sports separate from men's? Having a women's World Cup, congratulations Spain, though apparently there is a claims that one of the officials of the now World Cup winning team gave an unwanted kiss on the lips during the victory celebration. Again, men and women are very different. If this had been reversed, if the young soccer player, who's female, had given an unwanted or unrequested kiss on the lips to a male executive with a team, would it have produced the same result? No, there are differences that are profound. And there also are differences that really do apply and should apply to people who are here in this country as legal residents and people who are here in this country as native-born Americans, and then people who are part of the flood of unauthorized immigrants that has recently been pouring into the United States, and particularly transported to New York State. The governor of New York, who is regularly upstaged on this issue and so many others by the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, actually made a public plea to President Biden for a bailout for the state of New York to handle all the costs of housing, health care, and more for undocumented immigrants. Listen, this is Governor Hochul.
Today, I have sent a letter to President Biden formally requesting immediate executive action in four key areas. First, expedited work authorization so we can get these people out of shelters and into the jobs. Financial support for federal housing vouchers, schools, health care, legal services, case management, and shelter for us to provide to these asylum seekers. The use of more federal facilities to construct new temporary shelters. And reimbursement for the cost of our National Guard, which have been on the ground at these shelters throughout the state since last year.
And for over a year, she has been calling for federal assistance. Will she receive the federal assistance? This is one of those areas where there was some discussion about the issue of immigration and border security during the Republican debate. But again, it's been a long time. It has actually been since before President Trump became president that we've had any serious attempt to reform an immigration system, which is chaotic, confused, ineffective, and needs reform that would not only benefit those who seek greater security and are reluctant about incurring these new expenses that Governor Hochul, a Democrat, of course, is talking about. And for people who simply want a rational system of immigration to help people who are, in many cases now, by the thousands, living with governmental support. And that is, of course, a problem when our spending is so far in excess of the revenue that we take in, which nobody wants to talk about because, as Nikki Haley pointed out in the debates, the problem of spending is not only a Democratic problem. It is a broader problem than that. 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. There is the most unlikely fuss about about President Trump, and it not about his scowling, defiant mugshot that is now being used for fundraising for his campaign and is going to become a symbol of his campaign, but about the official weight and height that were listed when he was booked and fingerprinted and had the mugshot. Why is this even an issue? We will get to that. We'll also be speaking to Dr. John West of Discovery Institute about a racist exhibit. And it really was put together at the Smithsonian Institution. That and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
Your daily dose of debate.
Give me more.
The Michael MedVet Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Her public resignation from the New York Times exposing bias and anti-Semitism shook the nation. She is the author of The Twitter Files, which exposed the orchestrated bias against conservatives in social media. On Friday, October 13th, join featured speaker Barry Weiss at Washington Policy Center's annual dinner. WPC is your voice for market-based reforms. It exposed the new so-called excise tax on capital gains as an income tax, no matter what officials call it. And while the governor and cap-and-trade advocates promised minimal to no impact on gas prices, WPC warned it would raise the tax you pay on gas by approximately 45 cents a gallon. And WPC research showed the encroachment of critical race theory in Washington's classrooms. WPC provides the insight and analysis you need to stay informed and to act. Subscribe to WPC's free weekly newsletter and support improving our state with free market principles. October 13th in Bellevue at the Hyatt Regency. Ticket and sponsorship details at WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, I do believe that one of the things that has worked for President Trump, not against him, with these various arraignments and indictments and booking procedures, has been just the idea of pity, of feeling some sympathy for everything that he is going through. Now, obviously, on the other side, you could say, well, what about what he has done to other people, and what about what he's done for the country, and what, okay, fine. But there's a human reaction here, and I think that's part of what the mugshot was attempting to capture, of just indignation and determination. And I do suspect that President Trump, who is conscious, very conscious of his own appearance, had probably practiced the expression that he wanted in his mugshot in the mirror beforehand to try to get it right, to try to get it to be a suitable prop for fundraising. And in fact, Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC, long before they actually sent this out as a an emblem to be placed on T-shirts that say in them "Never Surrender" and "No Election Interference," and by the way, "Never Surrender" is kind of a weird slogan to use at a time when he has just for the fourth time surrendered to legal authorities. In any event, this is Lawrence O'Donnell talking about the monetization of the mugshot, clip 5.
Bonnie Willis opened the case the day that the Carolina report reminded me today, the day after the Washington Post had all the reporting on the tape and the call. She's the only person that has been the antidote to Trump saying, don't believe your eyes, don't believe your ears, believe me. She saw with her own eyes, she heard with her own ears, and she started investigating.
I think we can expect to see this photograph in a Trump email money solicitation.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Before midnight.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it was before midnight, but it was fairly rapid. Meanwhile, when it comes to feeling at least a little bit of sympathy for President Trump, there's this headline in the Washington Post, one of our leading news journals. It says, Trump's height, weight, and more information from Georgia jail booking. What we learned about Trump's height and weight in the Georgia booking. And the beginning of the piece says, Trump's booking record declared that the former president's height to be 6'3" and his weight 215 pounds, nearly 30 pounds lighter than his disclosed weight at the time of his last official White House physical. That was performed by Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who is now a very much pro-Trump member of Congress. In any event, this has become an item of intense controversy. Why? Well, maybe it's more interesting than talking about the forms that were filled out by fake electors. Maybe less significant, but more interesting. This is the way they talked about it with a very upset panel on CNN. Listen.
It did provide in the records his height and weight, mm-hmm. 6'3", 215 pounds. So it's out there.
215 pounds.
1'5".
But did they have? They took it because we were told that he filled out some papers ahead of time.
I don't think they put them. It doesn't look like they put them on a scale.
No, my understanding is he was given the ability to fill out some paperwork ahead of time, including his weight.
And he filled out. Donald Trump said that he weighs 215
pounds. I was not there, but
it's a self-reporting.
Yeah.
So he's lost 25 pounds since he was president, is what we're understanding. Because he was, I believe, Dr. Ronnie Jackson said that he weighed something like 242. For his official physical, which people at the time were skeptical of that.
Here, we're looking at the document. White male, 6'3", 215 pounds, hair, blonde or strawberry, eyes blue.
Did he fill that out as too, blonde or strawberry? Or is that?
I think all of this was.
How does strawberry end up in a booking
sheet? Well, that's a good question. Not something I would.
Strawberry blonde.
Again, this goes against the narrative that describes his hair as orange. The Washington Post reports part of the interest in Trump's weight and height stems from his own sensitivity about both statistics. He said in 2016 that he was 6'3" and 236 pounds, which the medical community considers overweight. If he were 6'2", which is what's listed on his New York driver's license, he would be considered obese. At the time, Trump acknowledged that he needed to lose 15 to 20 pounds. I think he has a lot of company in that regard from American males generally. In January 2018, a White House physician claimed he was 6'3" and 239 pounds, a number that many online commentators noted put his body mass index at 29.9, just below the 30.0 threshold for medical obesity. Meanwhile, the Lincoln Project, an anti-Trump Republican political committee, launched a contest last week offering a free mug to anybody who accurately guessed Trump's weight. Isn't that the kind of thing you do at carnivals? Somebody comes up and they're supposed to guess your weight? Honestly, who cares? Okay, Bet Online, an online wagering site, published odds on whether Trump's weight is over or under, not 215 pounds, as he apparently claims, but 278 pounds. There is no way that Trump is not over three bills, said Bet Online writer Adam Green. There's none. It's not possible. This is the easiest money you will ever make on a wager, and I would literally bet my house on it. I think that President Trump, as uncomfortable as he may be with this attention on his weight, it's a little bit more benign than talking about how many hundreds of years he's going to spend in prison. Compared to some of his would-be successors, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Vivek Ramaswamy, at least President Trump generally keeps his shirt on. Both Ramaswamy and RFK Jr. have posed recently doing athletic things with shirts off. Okay, but what about actually using human brains to prove racist theories? We'll talk about that abuse with John West of Discovery Institute coming right up.
Oh, Michael, you drive me nuts.
Michael Medved.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Almost 700,000 customers in Michigan and Ohio are without power after severe storms hit the region. The storms charged across southern Michigan into Ohio after midnight, packing wind gusts up to 85 miles an hour, hail as big as an inch and a half. The National Weather Service says a large and extremely dangerous tornado was confirmed Thursday night near Williamston, Michigan, just east of Lansing. Former President Trump may be heading back to Atlanta soon after Thursday's surrender at the Fulton County Jail. Charlie Shaw is a local bail bondsman who handled Trump's $200,000 bail.
It was a historical experience, one that I've never experienced before and probably never will again in my life.
Record-breaking heat possible through Monday in dozens of U.S. cities. Sweltering heat has been roasting parts of the central and southern U.S. this week, will continue in parts of the south. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
It's awesome.
Every day on the Michael Medved Show.
And it is a great pleasure to welcome back to the show my friend John West, who is the Senior Fellow Managing Director and Vice President of the Discovery Institute. Dr. West is, in fact, Vice President of the Seattle-based Discovery Institute and Managing Director of the Institute Center for Science and Culture. He was formerly the Chair of the Department of Political Science and Geography at Seattle Pacific University. He's an award-winning author and a documentary filmmaker who has written or edited 12 different books. His documentary film, which was fascinating and alarming, was called Human Zoos. And when you use that term, John, just using the term human zoos, doesn't it sound like some awful science fiction film about aliens capturing human beings and then putting on them on display as if they were animals? But this is not aliens. This is us, right?
Yeah, no, it is. And in fact, you're right, it does sort of sound like a science fiction movie. Or going back to the very first, the iconic Planet of the Apes, where the humans were put on sort of display. So, but yes, it involved us. And where we put particularly indigenous peoples on displays, both at World's Fairs, but sometimes in actual zoos. In New York City, the Bronx Zoo put on display a young man from Africa, Odubenga, on display in the ape house, along with right next to an orangutan, in a cage, so people could gawk at him and the orangutan. So other times it was in places like, I said, World's Fairs, like the 1904 World's Fair, especially in St. Louis, where they brought in hundreds, if not thousands, of Native people to be put on display. And some of these were cultural displays, but the way they were done, there were fences around them, the people were stared at and gawked at. I mean, it wasn't just what you think of today as you go to a World's Fair and you have a nice cultural display from another country. It was, they imported people, often not completely with their own permission or will, and then they put them in these displays where they were, you know, forced to live and in enclosures. And so it really was zoo-like.
Okay. You are specifically, with this issue, focusing on one World's Fair in particular, the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis, Missouri, which was actually convened because it was supposed to be representing the anniversary, the centennial of the Lewis and Clark Exposition. And at the World's Fair in St. Louis, they had a particularly large display involving some Filipino tribesmen, and there were hundreds of them, at least according to what they were advertising for people to come and see. Was this all in one large enclosure, and were the people allowed to get out, or they had to stay within the parameters of the zoo enclosures?
That's a great question. So the Philippine Reservation, as they called it, was a rather large enclosure. I mean, they could go out, but sometimes it was going out because they wanted there were scientists that were sending who wanted to test them, including doing pain testing of what lower races would feel like. And so or they staged these games where they wanted the Native peoples to compete against whites to sort of show that whites were superior. So they did get out of the enclosure for some things. But in general, of course, I'm not sure that they would necessarily want to, because you have a lot of people who might be conceived of as hostile. But there are photos of what occurred, and where you actually see the people sort of looking in and gawking at the people. But you're right, the Philippines is in the news because of the series of stories that the Washington Post has been writing about and publishing since about last week.
And this has to do with a woman whose brain was stolen and then preserved and displayed and used for research. Her name was Mora?
Yeah, Mora. Yes, and this is part of the story. So it's really, in fact, kind of horrific. The Smithsonian had a curator named Al Herlitschka, and he helped collect all sorts of human specimens, often without permission. I mean, he'd go to Native villages and dig up bones without their permission. And so, in fact, the Smithsonian became one of the world's largest repositories of human remains, other than, you know, burial grounds. They had like 30,000 human remains. But Herlitschka didn't just want bones. He wanted what he called a wet collection, soft tissues. And so he also collected a couple hundred brains from Native peoples. And so he actually went to St. Louis because they were anticipating that some of the Native peoples who were brought in because of climate and disease would die, and he wanted to be there to get their bodies and get their brains and cart them back to the Smithsonian, where the brains he stored in jars. In fact, today, in a private facility that people can't visit outside of Washington, D.C., it's in Maryland, they still have in these vats probably a couple hundred brains floating, and many of them, again, taken from people without their permission. And, you know, Mara certainly didn't give her permission to have her brain, you know, her cadaver taken apart, her brain harvested for, I guess, research purposes, but it's not really used for research. But, again, the bigger picture here, why was this done? This was part of many scientists at the time were committed social Darwinists, and they thought that evolution to them showed that there were higher and lower races, and that they were trying to document that. They were trying to document, in fact, the Igorots from the Philippines, which were one of the Filipino groups that were at the St. Louis World's Fair, there are actually pictures from the time where they put on the moniker Missing Link. So they actually thought that the Igorots were, you know, a missing link between humans and apes. And they did the same thing with the pygmies from Congo, and Odabenga, who ended up, who was actually at, there were also these native Congolese pygmies from, who were also at the St. Louis World's Fair, and one of them, Odabenga, was the one who was later put in a cage by the Bronx Zoo.
Okay, you were talking before about playing games to show the superiority of white people.
Yes.
What kind of games are we talking about? Are we talking about games of physical strength, or are we talking about chess?
Yes.
What?
No. Well, the ones I was talking about were physical games of you know, running, I don't know, javelin throwing, sort of a mini Olympic to show the superiority of the whites. But in addition to that, there was also, in the bottom of one of the buildings, they did psychological and pain testing on the native peoples again, because they thought they were lesser evolved and they wanted to document how superior whites were. So that was a separate, the testing, they sent in scientists to actually do testing, including their pain tolerance.
Why do we know specifically, it seems we know more about Mora as compared to other victims of the same horrific maltreatment? Why do we know more about her?
Well, I think it's because since she died, she was one of the people who, it was written up at the time that she died and that she was, you know, taken away to the hospital. And so that's one piece of it. She was one of the people who was documented as having died. And then from the Smithsonian side, there are a couple of the brains there that are identified as having come from the St. Louis World's Fair indigenous people. So they sort of put that together.
Okay, so this brain collection at the Smithsonian, what was the purpose? How were these brains abused? Why? And how did it get known and exposed now? You've had a role in that. We'll be right back with John West of the Discovery Institute.
Entertain your brain.
Your show is very entertaining.
Every day on The Michael Medved Show.
You know how the line to the song goes, it's summertime and the living is easy. Well, it's not so easy, it's active. I mean, people try to get moving when it's summertime, which is why aches and pains really need to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with them that I've ever found is through Relief Factor. Take it every day. It really does help you feel better and move more easily. And it's entirely natural. It's extraordinarily good for you. Go to michaelmedved.com. You can get Relief Factor with what they call a quick start, remarkably inexpensively. It's really a very special deal. And then you will probably become as regular a user as I am and millions of others. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start to make the most of your summer. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice, my mother was down with some sort of fever, people at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Portions of the Michael Medved Show are brought to you in part by the Discovery Institute.
And Dr. John West is the Senior Fellow at Discovery Institute and Managing Director and Vice President of the Institute. And, John, this fascination at the turn of the last century, and by the way, you comment that, yes, it was in St. Louis, and where they had a large human zoo. And this was part of the Bronx Zoo in New York, apparently. It was also in Seattle. The Alaska, Yukon, and Pacific Exposition, didn't they also have a large enclosure with, I believe they described them as Filipino tribesmen? This is back in 1913. The Filipino tribesmen who were supposed to go about their business and virtually naked and be treated like animals right here in the Pacific Northwest.
That is exactly true. They did have a large Philippine enclosure display at the Alaska Yukon Exposition. I think it was maybe in 1909. But they currently on the grounds of the University of Washington is where that took place, because, of course, that's where that exposition took place. There were many around the world up until as late as the 1950s, I think in Belgium was sort of, but the heyday was the early 20th century, the early, you know, the teens, the even the 20s.
Okay, as a medical matter, there are these, how many brains actually were collected by the Smithsonian Institution?
I think the best estimate is around 200 or so. So out of the, you know, they had 30,000 human remains, but only about a couple hundred of brains. And these are primarily collected by this eugenics hoarder who was their curator, Els Herlitschka, originally born in what's now the Czech Republic. But he was trained here as a doctor and a medical guy. And so he headed their efforts to collect all these both bone specimens, but also wet specimens.
Okay, this is all so disturbing and weird, but Is there any evidence at all that people can, during an autopsy or a situation like that, they can look at the shape of a brain, the physiological characteristics of a brain after the person has passed away, and then associate it with a particular racial background?
Well, they certainly thought they could. There are all sorts of problems with that because a lot of our bodies and developments are also based off of the environmental influences we have. And then, and also people even who are severely, say, brain injured, sometimes the brain rewires itself. So it's like that's very hard. But they certainly thought they could. And their motivation, their underlying motivation was, they thought that evolution showed that there were higher and lower races and that some races were closer to apes than others, and the other happened to be white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, pretty much in their view. And so they wanted to document that, and they wanted to supply the proof of that. And also, you know, it was an underlying thing of just viewing human beings as specimens. Now, I'm not against, obviously, medical research and things like that, but there is something to be said for the older view of humanity that we are both created in the image of God and that we should have some sort of sense of awe about humans. And so there's a reason that humans, unlike other animals, bury people and bury their dead in ceremonies. And to simply go wholesale without permission and, you know, take away cemeteries of people to, and some of the bones came from people that we killed in, you know, during the wars with the Indians, or in other cases, just without permission. There was another case, another brain case involving Els Herlitzka, also in New York, where a group of Eskimos were brought down to be sort of studied, and the there was a man and his son, and the man died. He got caught cold or something, you know, got sick and died. Okay, well, rather than when the Eskimos went back, allowing, you know, his son to take the remains, his son was a little kid, they staged a fake burial so the son could think that they were burying him, when, in fact, his dad's body was not in the coffin, because they took his dad's body and stripped it to study the bones and harvested the brain so Els Herlitzka could write it up. In fact, you can actually go out there and get pictures of this guy's bones and brains and measurements, because this was written up in a scientific journal, unbeknownst to his little child.
Now, you've written about this extensively and before, and your film Human Zoos is a remarkable documentary about a really forgotten chapter in our history. This idea that people were profoundly physiologically and intellectually different based upon race, that was an idea that Darwin himself was open to, wasn't he?
More than that, he promoted it in his book, The Descent of Man. He was very clear that he thought, I mean, look, the logic, if the only thing that makes us human is this blind process of survival of the fittest based on whatever conditions, you know, we as a subpopulation encounter, then in Darwin's view, it's very rational to think that you'd have severe differences between different human beings. Now, if you think human beings are all ultimately created by a creator, then, you know, that our most fundamental differences are because we are, you know, we're created and planned. That's another thing. But if you think that our particular capabilities, I mean, all of our capabilities, our deepest capabilities are basically due to happenstance of how evolution was working on our subpopulation. We're not just talking about, you know, eye color or, you know, various strength things, but, you know, our deepest differences are dictated by this blind evolutionary process. In Darwin's view, it was entirely rational to expect that different races would have severe differences. And he wrote about that in The Descent of Man, and then his followers were even more. I mean, like, in Germany, people like Ernst Haeckel took this even more. And, in fact, it led to some of the world's first official genocide. I mean, there's some debate over that, but sort of scientific genocide was in Namibia and in southwest German Africa, and that also involved, actually you had a German general saying that the laws of survival of the fittest won't allow us to be compassionate. We've got to eradicate these Herero people.
Wow. So, okay, right now with the Smithsonian, and you're talking about several hundred brains in their collection. Has there been any kind of formal apology or, dare I say it, reparations, anything of that nature from the, institution?
Good question. So with regard to the overall human specimens, the 30,000, in the last several years, Congress passed a law, and so they are trying to, if there is a culture or a tribe that things were stolen for, they are trying to repatriate. They've done a few thousand. With regard to the brains, it's been a little bit harder. As far as I know, they've only returned a couple. So there was a brain from a Native American called Ishi in California that a few years ago was returned. This Washington Post investigative series, although it's not new, the Washington Post still has a lot of clout. And so as part of that, the Smithsonian has sort of apologized. And I think you could expect them to move into higher gear efforts to where they can identify things and where it's clear that they weren't taken with permission to return them. So there has been a little bit, but it's been a long time coming. I mean, I know that with the Bronx Zoo, they finally apologized after 2020. When I did my documentary in 2018, they wouldn't even allow filming on there. We had to get a drone to sort of film over because they not only wouldn't apologize, they wouldn't talk about it, they wouldn't, they did, and they, in their case, they actually put someone in a cage. So about 100,000 New Yorkers could come and gawk to this person next to a, next to an orangutan. And they, but after 2020, when the George Floyd and other things happened, things did begin to change somewhat. Yeah.
Well, we're still working on a work in progress. You can read some of John West's unforgettable. You may want to forget it, but it's deeply troubling and very moving and very important. It's posted at our website at michaelmedved.com, and also information about his documentary from 2018, Human Zoos, about just how widespread and accepted and honored this process and this exploitation once was. John West, Discovery Institute. Find out more about the work of Discovery Institute. It is precious and important. And you can find that information again at michaelmedved.com right here in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Hawaii Ag and Culinary Alliance has reinstated the Kokua Restaurant and Hospitality Fund for Maui to provide immediate assistance to dedicated restaurant, bar, hospitality, and tourism workers who've been displaced by the recent catastrophic wildfires that have devastated West Maui communities from Lahaina to Kapalua. The organization is also working with World Central Kitchen and their partners on the ground to feed communities affected by the Maui wildfires. To donate to the Kokua Restaurant and Hospitality Fund for Maui, visit www.HawaiiFoodAndWineFestival.com. That's HawaiiFoodAndWineFestival.com, or on Instagram at HIFoodWineFest or Facebook at Hawaii Food and Wine Festival for more information. Hawaii Ag and Culinary Alliance, DBA Hawaii Food and Wine Festival, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Contributions are fully tax deductible. Visit HawaiiFoodAndWineFestival.com.
It's obvious we're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.